Welcome to the BCMA podcast. I'm your host, Lorenda Calvert, and today I'm joined by Uli. Uli, do you want to introduce yourself to us?
Thank you. Sure. So my name is Uli Mashayek. I am the executive director of an arts council that is based in White Rock, South Surrey in British Columbia. And I have been leading the arts council for the last 2 years.
Thank you so much for joining us. What we're here to talk about today is the future. So what do you think the future holds?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, but I studied art history, actually, and knowing that creativity was actually discovered to have been around for hundreds of thousands of years, the researchers found first signs of innovation of art in Africa. And originally they thought it's only about 40,000 years ago, but then they dig deeper, and a few years ago they actually discovered that there were signs of artwork that is older than 100,000 years ago. And you know, as people, as mankind invented something in something that you can grasp in the form of art, it evolved more and more. And then we had the invention of the printing press in the 15th century. And then moving forward, there was radio and then television. And each time mankind, encountered a new medium, there were challenges, but then with the challenges also came opportunities and new sectors of the creative sector opened up for people in the arts and culture world. So I think with the pandemic, again, there are no doubt obstacles and challenges, but I also think that it opened up avenues for us to think out of the box again in the 21st century, to come closer with each other. So our art center is located in a quite remote place, and had it not been for the internet and for the pandemic, we would, maybe not be so open towards other communities in British Columbia and even in Canada. And we had to completely pivot as of April 2020, which was, quite a learning curve for us, but I think we have managed it well. And we completely shifted to online. We are still operating from our facilities. 15% of our programming is still inside the rec center, but the rest is completely online, meaning that we have virtual artist talks that we stream on YouTube. We have monthly art galleries that we showcase on our website and social media. We also host book launches that is streamed on our YouTube. And all of that actually has given us the opportunity to attract more artists to become members with us, but also to attract a wider audience. So, outside of South Surrey, White Rock, we now have actually audience that is even in Europe. My friends, they watch the talks and they go to our website and have a look at the artwork. So I think the future will be very diverse and very inclusive thanks to the internet, which is is a very inclusive medium that also enabled us, not just for the arts and culture, but it has enabled us to make our societies more transparent. Like if you just look at all these incidents and encounters that happen that we don't know about. And then somebody films it on their records it on their phone and publishes it. And then it raises awareness of issues that we would otherwise never know about, right? And the internet makes it possible for us to broaden our horizon.
Absolutely. And that's something that we found with our programming, you know, we're the BC Museums Association. So our focus is, you know, support for the province. But because people are more comfortable using digital means to connect and engage, so things like Zoom, we've been able to make connections throughout the whole country as well as globally to connect and chat and learn and discover and share, which I think is incredible when you consider just how isolated some of us felt over the past year and were over the past year. And then here you are also connecting with people globally about issues and ideas. So in one way, you're very, very local, but in the other, you're global. So it was absolutely a very interesting year, and really underlines the fact that with the internet, we can connect globally.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like you said, you know, this international connectiveness also brings a new shared experience that otherwise we would not have. And we may also experience, you know, greater cognitive ease in how we perceive and how we process the arts. It's, you know, it's different when you are invited into an arts opening and you physically go there, and maybe it's always the same people that you see, because, you know, these people tend to be member of this a community. It's great because you can chat with the people face to face, but with the internet, you actually have a different kind of experience with, you know, looking at the art and discussing the art. And by art, I don't mean just, you know, two-dimensional photography and paintings. I am also talking about, for example, movies. You know, now we can, something I have never done before, and you know, I can now actually watch something on my Amazon Prime, and then friends in other parts of the country, like Ontario and Nova Scotia, they watch it with me, and we look at each other on the video and look at the movie together, and then we talk about the movie, something that we could have never done in the past, because, you know, you don't come up with that idea. But, you know, when you are in a crisis, you also become very inventive and you come up with solutions that bring you together, I think.
Absolutely. And I kept thinking, not like we reached out to some international museum organization, when we were approaching reopening for the province, and some of those organizations had already reopened their institutes and had really thorough plans and procedures and had experience firsthand of what it was like to reopen after COVID. And it was just really interesting connecting with them, because what felt like for the first time in my whole life, there was something happening that was a global experience that everyone around the world now had that one shared common experience, which is experiencing and going through this pandemic. So we had a reason, but also we had this connection to reach out and chat with them. So it was really, really interesting, and something I still think about now and try to think about other instances through history, because I have a background in history that would have been those same universal, global, everyone experienced things. And I can only think of a handful, but it's absolutely super interesting. So I thank you so much for sharing that, because I know that I'm going to be thinking about that all day long as well.
Yeah, and then one more thing I want to add is that, you know, typically, and you just mentioned you studied history, so you may know, typically the arts have been something for, you know, the elite, for the rich, and those who could afford buying art and talking about art and, you know, being educated. And I think, you know, since probably latest mid-50s, where the mass art also became available for the masses, especially Warhol with his, you know, print printing mm-hmm. art. I think with the internet now, the art has also become not just more affordable for, you know, I don't want to say everyone, but a broader group of demographics, but it's also more approachable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so many times, I know London, the museums in London are mostly free, but I think most museums, you have to pay entrance fees, right? And then lots of art galleries are by invitation only, and it's mostly people from an upper echelon. And now, you know, with the internet, you can just go on somebody's website, an arts organization's website or museum's website, and you can enjoy the art. Lots of organizations enabled the artwork free of charge, performing arts, literary arts, visual arts. And so everyone now can enjoy the arts, which, you know, arts should be available for everyone, I think. It shouldn't be just an elitist medium. But having said that, I also think that artists who are, you know, providing the art and making the art, they should be compensated appropriately, not, you know, neglected. And there was a study by Hill Strategy. I don't know if that organization is around anymore, but a few years ago, and this is of course a no-brainer, but I just want to mention that they found out that the average income of the artist in Canada is below $20,000 annually, which is, like, you know, something that somebody who is maybe working a McDonald's job would make. And lots of these artists, a majority of them, have at the very least a bachelor degree, so mm-hmm. they're actually educated and put time and money into degrees. So we should also think about not only, you know, how we can make the arts more accessible and more approachable for the public and for people, you know, of all income levels, but we should also think about how we can help the artists themselves during the pandemic to actually make a living as an artist.
Absolutely. Do you have any last thoughts before we wrap up today?
Oh, no. Yeah, I guess I talked too much.
No, that's okay. That I wasn't sure if that, because you said I've got one more thing, so I wasn't sure. Is this the last one? Is that the last one?
Yeah, no. I just want to say, I think it's, we should always look into the positive side of things, you know, whatever, you know, circumstances we find ourselves in, we should always look how we can pivot the situation in a way that, you know, it becomes a difficulty, becomes an opportunity for us.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think that's one of the things that I will continue to take through from this past year is ways that we can make the best out of the situation we're in and how to keep going forward. If people want to get a hold of you, how could they reach you?
Good question. Well, there's, I guess you can find me on LinkedIn. You can also email me. Do you want me to write my email in the chat?
I can actually, I'll link your information in the description for the podcast so people can reach you there. And and then I'll encourage people to reach you on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to say our arts organization is very welcoming. We really support artists of, you know, all backgrounds, all demographics and cultural backgrounds. We are celebrating, May is Month of Asian Heritage Month, and we are celebrating our our artists who have, you know, this diverse background in this month by showcasing the artwork and organizing artist talk, and there's also book launch. So, you know, I encourage anyone who thinks that, you know, they would like to be showcased and promoted to contact me.
Thank you so very much.